Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
We are just hoping to encourage you today, hoping to give you a perspective. Maybe it was the first hour. Maybe it was the second half of the first hour. Maybe it's this, what you're about to hear. We're hoping during our conversation, that's what we're having, just a conversation with you that can just be a conversation of light. You know, he tells us to go be the light of the world, mm-hmm. to let your light shine in darkness. And there's so many dark conversations that happen in our everyday life now. I mean, dark media, mm-hmm. dark news, you know, dark everything. Mm. But we're supposed to shine our light in the midst of all that, and it brings hope. And that's why it's so important what we're hoping to do for our audience is to bring a light perspective, to be in a light perspective to your life.
I was just reading in the Word where, you know, we don't take a light and put it underneath a bed or under a basket. I mean, I've heard that scripture before. I'm sure we all have. Mm-hmm. We're pretty familiar with it, but I had a chance just to visualize that. So how silly would that look to take a lamp and put it underneath a bed? Just right. Like, what in the world?
You'd have a bigger light.
Yeah.
Unless it was a water bed. Yeah.
Right.
It's like a small, I'm thinking a small miniature lamp, you know?
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah.
But you think about it, it's like, it's just so foolish, just out of place. And yet you think, you see so much light. We're supposed to have light. We're not supposed to put it underneath a bed or under a barrel, but we're supposed to be in places where light belongs, in the darkness. There's two places for light, in darkness, and it's not supposed to be together. Light with light, it's not necessary. You know, right. There's too many of us here. We got to scatter. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But that's what it's all about. Because let me tell you something. We're living in dark times, in a dark world with dark media, a dark pop culture that just feeds on more dark. And instead of running away from it and being afraid of it, we need to run into it.
And that's why, you know, the Lord has sent us into the world to be light. Mm-hmm. And we can sit there, you know, mm-hmm. we can yell at the darkness all day long.
Hello.
Until we start shining our light, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, you know, you think about it, that we're called to be men and women of faith. We're saved by faith. We move by faith. We walk by faith. The understanding of what faith is such a rarity. Mm. It's such a rarity in today's church. Operating in faith. What we do is we quite often operate in what we know and our knowledge and practicum and logic and wisdom of the world and you know, 1 + 1 = 2. But a miracle is when God causes 1 + 1 to equal all that you will ever need. Mm-hmm. Mm. And you think about faith, things that our faith is believing for. Things are conceived in the spirit realm before they're manifested in the natural realm. As children, think about this, as children are conceived in the womb, faith is first conceived, I guess you could say, in our spiritual room, in our heart. Just as much as a baby is a baby in the womb, a natural baby is a natural baby in the womb, so it is on the outside of the womb, the same baby, but you can't necessarily see it. It's only the one who actually has the womb, that's carrying this child, knows that it exists. Mm-hmm. Unless others, doctors, for example, find a way to take a peek inside the womb, ultrasound, to see if the child's there. But the mother knew the child, or the ones that conceived this child knew that that child was there all along. A child, as a child is conceived and goes through this whole period of incubation in the womb, so faith has a period of being conceived in our spirit, man, and goes through a period of incubation. You think about Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 in the King James. He says, the Word of God says, now faith is a substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. Faith is the evidence, or faith is a substance. I mean, think about a tangible substance, spiritual substance of things hoped for, an evidence of things not seen. Faith is a substance in the spiritual realm. Mm. Faith is evidence of things to come, but not yet seen with the natural eye. Hebrews 11:6 lets us know without faith, without this reality of this evidence in the substance, it's impossible to please God. You think about the centurion. The centurion, Jesus tells the centurion when he speaks with his words what he believes in his heart. And he says, all you have to do is say the words. You don't have to even come to my home. And Jesus says, oh, I haven't seen such great faith in all of Israel. It'll be done as you believed that it was. And he's saying, I haven't seen in all of Israel someone that had the greatest amount of the substance which pleased me the most. Mm-hmm. There's a period of incubation. Just like you can't just say, hey, I want a child, and you don't even, it's not conceived, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's not, you're not willing to go through the process of all the trimesters and taking care of that child while nobody else can see it, but you have that child inside of you. There are incubation, if you would, incubation periods in your faith. And the very and everyone is so important, you can't move on to the second one. There's four phases of it, pretty much, you can describe them. And you can't move into the second phase or the third phase or the fourth phase without actually dealing with the first phase. They build on each other. Mm-hmm. And so many people are trying to move in the fourth area of this incubation period. And it's like, you haven't even conceived anything yet.
Hello.
You know? You haven't even conceived it. And the four simple phases are, you could describe them as this. You know, have it and envision what you're wanting, what you're believing God for, a clear-cut objective in your life. You know, what do you want from God? I don't know. Just ask him to, what? You know? And the second is having a burning passion for that which you have a clear-cut vision for. The third is, and we'll talk about this a little bit, is praying for assurance, the timing of God and the blessing of God and the alignment of God in the context of what's going on. And finally, it's speaking that vision, speaking that word out. There's four primary aspects of that. And the first is envisioning. For since faith is being sure and certain, right? Sure of what you hope for, certain of what you don't see, as the NIV says, it is a substance and evidence, as the King James is talking about and describes it. Since many ask and do not receive because they do not ask in alignment with God's word, it's important for us to make sure that what we're conceiving, what we're believing for, what we're envisioning, what we're getting a clear-cut vision, that it's actually in alignment with the word of God. Mm-hmm. It'd be a shame to waste all that energy, all that time, and go through that religious exercise and end up with nothing. He says the reason why people ask and don't get because they ask amiss. They don't ask in alignment with God. And secondly, it's important to not take a carnal view of this revelation that I'm talking about and think that you can manipulate God with your faith and find, and you're going to find out that the kingdom of God operates. This is how it operates. It's not a way to manipulate God and to get your way. It's not, you know, God knows your heart. It's a secret, if you would, a secret in the kingdom of God. And so it's important to get a clear-cut vision. You need to understand, I mean, so you're asking, so, you know, if somebody's asking for, believe in God for a car, for example, I mean, if you don't even have the transportation, but you don't say, do you want a car? Do you want a bus? Do you want a subway ticket? I mean, what do you want?
Right.
I don't know. Just get me there. Yeah. Well, listen, that's not faith. Mm-mm. Because faith buys into the reality that you have to carry this thing. You have to see it. You have to have a defined reality. And this Jesus say, will the Son of Man even find faith when he returns? You're going to have to do the work, the groundwork. And quite often, because many don't understand this, they don't realize there's groundwork you have to do. You know, this is what a lot of people may say. They say, I'm working on something. And what they're doing is developing a clear-cut vision in their heart. They're trying to see it and understand it and fully have it inside their heart. Conceive it, inside of their spiritual womb, their heart. Mm-hmm. And that's so important, because how in the world are you going to have a burning passion? What is the next aspect of this without, you don't even, burning passion for what? Mm-hmm. Yeah, for subway rides, you know, for bus rides, for, you know, a station wagon, a tricycle, a bicycle, you know, what is it? And understand that it is okay. This is how God's designed you. You're supposed to take your imagination and force it to be in compliance with the will and the word of God. Well, the will and the word of God is for you to move in faith, which means you're going to have to do the groundwork and begin to hack out in the understanding, and sometimes just seeing others walking into what you feel like you're supposed to walk into. If you think you're supposed to be, you know, a businessman or businesswoman that has a CEO of their own company or something of that nature, you're going to have to hang around somebody, probably the CEO, to get at you a grid.
Yeah.
You know, what does that look like to own your own company? What does it look like to be the chief executive officer? What does it look like? Hey, I want to, you know, I want to have a good marriage. And somebody's, you know, you're going to have to find out, what does that really mean? Do you have a grid for that? Do you hang around people that have a good marriage? Do you know what that, what does God say about, you know, you can believe God for in the context of that? Financial blessing, all these different things. So understanding that ministry, you know, understanding what God has called us to do as believers to go into minister. And so you have to have, that has to be a blueprint, if you would, for what is going to be built. When you look at blueprints, you know, blueprints are not the house, for example, that's going to be built. But without the blueprints, you can't build the house. Because you're going to have to write down the design of this house. And you're going to have to put it down so specifically that somebody who doesn't even know you yet, who you haven't even hired yet, is going to take your blueprint, and they're going to go and they're going to take those blueprints and they're going to order material and they're going to hire people to build. And they're going to take their ruler and they're going to put it all over that building and the house that's being built based off the blueprints that you drew up.
Come on.
So if you ain't got no blueprints, how is he going to build you something? You're going to have to actually write this down to understand what that is. And so, and this is where a lot of people are like, I don't want to, you know, just whatever. I don't want to do the work. I don't want to do the work. Well, then you can't complain about how life is. You can't complain about what other people are doing when they're trying to do the work.
That's right.
You know, and understand. But if you'll do that, the next phase, once you clearly understand, you got those blueprints, you can flip it. This is the roof design. This is the foundation. This is the footer. This is the walls. This is how many rooms it is. It's sheetrock. It's whatever, you know, marble cabinets. I don't know what it is.
Couple toenails.
Couple that's a building angle for a nail. And so once you have that down, the next phase is going to be easier for you because you're going to need, you can't move beyond the second phase until you get the second phase. You're going to have a burning passion. People say, well, you need to move quicker. Don't you understand? It's like, well, no, if you don't have the burning passion yet for what you believe in God for, in this clear-cut vision, don't move beyond that.
Because
The next phase is you're going to have to pray for assurance. But how are you going to talk to God in confidence and surety about something you don't even have a passion for?
That's right.
It must not be God because I don't have a passion for it. No, it could be because you're under attack. It could be you have to fight for it. You have to begin to pray for it until God begins to stir your heart till you just so desperately want this thing to manifest what you have inside of your heart. You just can't stop until it manifests what's inside of you, this baby's birth.
That's right.
And then once you get to getting a burning passion is, this is so important because faith believes strongly and that it's so strong that it's like you're already operating in that which you're believing for. You're already beginning to make time for it and to plan around it and to invest in it and to make room for it. And you're thanking God for it. And this requires a burning passion for that which you're having faith for. It's important to soak in a season of prayer and meditation on scripture, abiding with God until you have that burning passion. And it has to be released to you. You know, quite often it's difficult because how do you get a burning passion over a greedy vision? You know what I'm saying? But when you lay down your life for God and begin to believe God for what His will is on this earth, is that really hard to do? Because the creator of the universe is in alignment. You're in alignment with God.
Right.
That's a faith builder in itself. And once you get this burning passion, you can see, for example, the example I gave with the blueprints in the house, it's still just blueprints. It's in your heart. No house is built yet. But in the burning passion, it's like, you know, you're starting to see stuff where things are going to go in your house, or you're seeing how this ministry is going to work, or you're seeing how this business is going to work, and you just kind of see it. Mm-hmm. And some people say when things manifest in the natural sense, people say, well, how can you just move so quickly? It's like, I've been moving in this thing about 10 years ago.
Right.
I've been doing some work, you know? And then after you got this burning passion, this is where another thing happens where people begin to move without a blessing, without assurance, because you have a time where it could be right, but it could be the wrong timing.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Hi.
How do you handle traumatic events? This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller. Dr. Walt Larimore describes a tragic situation and the different ways he and his wife Barb processed the difficult news.
5 or 6 of the staff were killed, and a couple of others were in the hospital in the ICU. And when we heard that, my response to that was I just needed some time to pray about it, to process it. Barb called her best friend Penny, and we used to get mad about that. Like, why can't she talk to me? Why does she have to talk to Penny? Or why does he go away? Why can't he talk to me? Now we understand that.
Well, it helps to be aware of how God designed men and women, because we do handle life's difficulties in different ways. And rather than letting those differences irritate you, it's best to learn to understand and then appreciate them. Dr. Larimore has more to say right now at focusonthefamily.com/radio.
If you're a believer today and you're saying, you know, I hear you, I've accepted the Lord in my heart, but there's something in my heart. I want to do something for God. You know what? Maybe VFNU is for you. It's time to be prepared. It's time. Listen, we're believing for a third great awakening. We're believing for the glory of God. We need God more than ever in our nation. Right. We need God more than ever in the church. And let me tell you, if you're tired of sitting, you know, you want to get in the game. Mm. You know, so you're tired of sitting, you want to get in the game. You want to do something for God. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, I invite you, VFNU, Vine Fellowship Network University.org, mm-hmm. and explore the opportunity of being on the front lines. Listen, it's not as hard as what religion's made it out to be. We're all called to the ministry of reconciliation, right? Reconciling the world to God. Mm-hmm. But you know what? We need to be trained up and taught. Right. And it's not just a university. A VFNU is not just a university where you just get filled with all types of, you know, theological reference. Listen, this is just anointed mm-hmm. God. You know what I'm saying? It's just anointed God preparing you with anointed teachings as well as practical wisdom and all focused on the original intent of the church and Jesus Christ.
That's right.
He's enough.
That's right.
Listen, God has a destiny and a purpose for your life. Discover it. Ask him. He'll reveal it to you and show you what he has in store for you.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off.
But now that you're actually understanding clearly what you're asking God for, which is you're not doing a half ask, you know, like half-hearted asking God of things because you have a burning passion for it, your time of prayer is meaningful. It makes sense. You're articulating it. God can see your faith, that you're ready for it. It's time to be released. But, you know, you have to understand this, that the timing might not be right. Just because you can see it clearly, just because you have a burning passion for it, doesn't mean you need to run off, you know, like a maverick and mm-hmm. begin to try to make something happen, because now you left God in the whole context of what's going on right here. You're going to need to pray for assurance from God. But understand this, that some people say, hey, you should just pray once and just walk out. Well, no, what Jesus said, on the contrary, he said you should pray and keep asking until you receive. The lady who wanted justice continued to pray, and she continued to ask. Why? You continue to ask and pray until it's conceived inside of you, till you feel that release inside of you, because you're going to have to, it's going to have to manifest in your heart fully where the timings of God is right for you to begin to get that blessing from God. And how you know you got assurance is all of a sudden there's peace. You already had the clarity. You already had the burning passion, which was a dangerous time for you because you could have ran out and you could have launched that business too soon. You could have done something too soon. But you got on your knees and you just meditated, and proverbially on your knees. Maybe you did get on your knees. And you just paused and you sought the Lord for getting that timing and that assurance. Then all of a sudden that peace just settles in. I can clearly see it. I got the passion for it. Now I got the permission for it. Mm-hmm. And now you have the release to be able to do the fourth phase, what we're talking about. And the fourth phase we want to talk about, if you missed the others, you need to catch it, but is the, I mean, you've already done the groundwork into getting a clear vision. You've already began to seek for the burning passion. Then you pray for assurance, the timing, the blessing, the permission of God. Mm-hmm. But now you have that. It's time for you to begin to do something very, very important. You're going to have to begin to speak the vision. Begin to speak it. Well, you know, you think about how important speaking is and saying is... Mark chapter 11, verse 22 through 24, Jesus says, have faith in God. I mean, think about that. Have faith in God. Because he's talking about the fig tree. You know, they passed the fig tree was fruitless. He cursed the fig tree. They come back the next day. The fig tree was all withered up, even down to the roots. And they said, wow. And he says, listen, have faith in God.
That's right.
What does that mean? That means he wants us to do what I'm talking about. He wants us to live in this realm of trusting in him and believing in him and being a creator as he's a creator and begin to speak things into existence. Then he says, I tell you the truth. And so this is the truth. He's talking about the truth about faith, about how things work. He says, I tell you the truth. If anyone, and anyone includes you, me, and everyone that's listening, if anyone says to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says will happen, it will be done for him. But you can see, if you haven't done the groundwork, you're going to be just mowed over. Mm-hmm. You're going to be totally mowed over if you haven't went through these processes that I'm talking about here. Because the enemy's going to try to come in and sow doubt right away. But listen, if you got clarity and you've got a passion and you got permission and you have the timing and the peace of God, mm-hmm. I mean, it's going to be hard to mow you over.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? It's going to be hard to mow you over, and the enemy will try. And this is what Jesus is telling us. And then he says, therefore, I tell you, whatever, which means, listen, whatever your vision is, what you're believing God for, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Hmm. I mean, he's talking from fig trees to mountains to whatever and to whoever. You think about it. Now that you've done the work of faith, you have the clear-cut vision, you have the burning passion, you have the assuring peace and the permission of God. It's time to begin to speak things out. I'm telling you, it's not a difficult thing to do at this point if you followed what I'm talking about in the context of these phases of doing the groundwork for your faith. But it is required. If you don't speak it out, it's not going to happen. Mm. I mean, it's just not going to happen. And the word spoken from someone who has done this work are a powerful substance, because when they're loosed out in faith, it releases the angels of God, the spiritual realm of God, to begin to take those words and begin to build on the outside what was already built in your heart on the inside. Mm-hmm. It takes the blueprints that's in your heart and begins to build that thing and establish it.
Wow.
These words that you're speaking are building materials in the natural realm. It is the conduit between what is in your womb of your spirit and what's going to be made manifest in the eyes of men. Isn't it interesting how someone who is able to speak well ends up having many followers, whether they're good or whether they're evil? It was the speeches of Hitler that led a people into captivity, Jews into the ovens in the concentration camps, and the world into war. Mm. One man's speeches that he clearly wrote out. He even wrote his own Bible. I mean, he clearly had a vision for what he was, an evil vision.
Yeah.
But yet it was the words of God from the mouth of his son, Jesus Christ, on the Sermon on the Mount that shapes our life. And we live our life by words that were spoken out. This is how it should be. And it's our words that we live by. It's his words, the words of the preceding words of God that come out of the mouth of God that we live by. The thing is, it's like, what words are coming out of our mouths? All of America leans forward every 4 years listening to the speeches of those who desire to be the president of the United States. And the one or more speeches often with one or more speeches, often a majority of our nation favors. Mm. The nation's favor is turned towards one candidate, and they select him. What? It's based off a speech. It's what they're saying.
Wow.
For years, I would say to myself, no, not just the speech, not just words. There needs to be something behind it, you know? But every single year, all the years, you go, oh, that's the reality. That's how things work.
Yeah, yeah.
And because that's how we're designed that way. We're designed that way. What is important to remember, it's important to remember that we can create good or evil. Because we've been created in the likeness, the image and the likeness of the Creator himself. But remember, also in the end, we'll be judged accordingly. Therefore, if one man's speech can turn a nation, what can your speech turn? If you have a clear-cut vision, a burning passion, and permission and peace from God, if you begin to speak out what God has formulated, you and God together have formulated on your heart, what are you building for God? Are you like the centurion who had the greatest measure of the substance which pleased God the most? Do you speak the word of faith? Did you know the promise comes by faith? Everything comes by faith. That we serve a God who calls things that are not as though they were. Why? Because that's how we're called to be. We begin to speak those things that are in our heart out. And they begin to happen. Jesus said, if you say to this mountain, if you say, if you speak, we're not waiting on God. Mm. He's waiting on us to begin to have faith. He says, have faith in God. The thing about it is we've stepped outside the will and the word and the ways of God, and so everything is amiss. But if we'll move back in and move out of this 82 percentile, not even reading his expectations, his word, and get back into the word of God, begin to abide with God, and begin to let God, allow God's word to shape us and to mold us. Listen, there comes a point in time in life, all you have left is your faith. But your faith will bring you to everything else, including eternal life. Listen, we're called to be men and women of faith. Without it, it's impossible to please God. Understand, quit living so much on what you see. Quit banking everything on what you see, all your senses. Begin to see different things in your heart. Begin to get clear-cut vision, godly vision, for what's going to happen in your business, in your family, in your ministry, in your state, in your nation, in the world. I have a vision for a third grade awakening.
Mm. Yeah.
It could transform a nation. I can see a church alive and hearing from God and children hearing the voice of the Lord and all believers who claim the name of the Lord, laying hands on the sick and they're recovering, ministering in the name of God. I can see it. The praise coming out, new sounds coming out, and the ground giving up its harvest, and the blessing of God once again on our nation. What are you seeing?
You know, it's so powerful because when we begin to line up together and start sharing what God is doing in our heart, what we're praying, what we're believing for, we'll begin to see these things happen. That's how the Bible says the power of life and death is in the tongue. And that's why it's so important that we walk together in unity, we walk together in faith, because when you release words that are contrary to what someone is believing, when you have words that are spoken out in a negative format, they begin to just speak like a doubt over a cloud, and it'll start to erode that faithful stand. That's one of the things that you must be careful about, because if doubt comes in, it destroys the very thing. You went through all of the phases just by one word that was being released.
And you know, see how important it is to go through each of those phases so that when the attack comes,
that's right,
that you can stand.
Because it will come.
It will come. But if you didn't do that work, and it's easy to sow doubt into confusion already. And if you're panicking, somebody's going to ask you to explain it. You know, you're in trouble already.
That's right. That's right.
But with that too, understand the power of vision. You're right. The power of vision, that's what God has called us to do. He says, listen, when you think about Habakkuk, when he says, you know, I positioned myself to hear from God. Mm. And this is what he said. He said, write it down. Write down the revelation. Write down the vision. Mm. You know, make it plain. Write it on tablets. Write it on paper. You know, write it down where other people can understand it and run with it. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come to pass.
Right.
And understanding that once God reveals, once you have that revelation, it's about writing it down and making it clear, which means you got to do some work. But it pays off because you're able to be strong and confident. And you need confidence. And confidence will come when you actually can clearly understand what and why and how you're doing what you're believing God for.
That's right.
Right? I like what Dr. Cho has his book, The Fourth Dimension. He talks about how he was believing God for a chair with wheels on it.
A chair with wheels.
Because he wanted to be really important.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He was believing God for an American bicycle because it lasted longer.
Yeah.
Stronger.
Right.
And he was believing God for...
It was a big fancy desk. A big mahogany.
A mahogany desk.
Mahogany desk.
He was very detailed.
I mean, he already jumped the gun with that. A bicycle to a mahogany desk.
Well, this is back in Korea, early, way back in the day.
That's huge.
But with that, it was very specific. And when you talk about describing things, it's gonna require you to begin to do the groundwork to get a grip. And that's why God's called you to walk in agreement with someone, maybe a business owner, maybe an apostle, maybe a pastor. Understand, you need to find out where they're going and what they're doing and how they're doing it and what their vision is. And if it's a business owner, you know, that really is going somewhere, they're going to know their vision.
That's right.
And you want to know, first of all, to see if you can walk in agreement with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, there's some companies out there, you know, their vision is to be irreverent.
That's right.
And that's actually their vision. It's like, okay, not that company.
Exactly.
And it's just a powerful thing. It's a very powerful thing. I just want to challenge you to get with those that you're walking with and find out the direction of your leaders and say, you know, God, I want to be pleasing to you. I want to be able to walk in agreement and be a part of bringing to pass what's already been birthed on the inside of that leader. I want to see what they're saying manifested, and I know this contingent upon me walking in agreement with what you've already done inside of them.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today. Cordova Lanes. The weather is changing. You want to do something indoors? Bring the family in. In Pensacola, right behind Cordova Mall, visit Cordova Lanes, where nobody gets benched. Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai. Buying a car can be an overwhelming thing. I encourage you to visit Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai, where Glenn makes buying a car smooth and easy. Visit him today in Car City. You'll be glad you did. Visit Copy Products today with 5 locations on the Gulf Coast to better serve you. They can help you with all of your copying and scanning needs. Copy machines, fax machines, scanners, printers, shredders, and so much more. Contact them today at 850-432-1580. Brunson Air and Heating in Mobile. They can do all of your service work quick and efficient. Give them a call today. Brunson Air and Heating. You'll be glad that you did.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
It is so cool when you're reading the Bible, isn't it, Pat? When you find out when finally, your life, your Christian walk lines up with what you're actually reading in your Christian Bible, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's so cool that when you actually have a source you can go to now.
Because
it fits your life, and your life fits the Word. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, if you've been reading the Word of God, and you've been reading as a history book, or somebody's told you that there's not any more miracles anymore, somebody's, you know, told you that that doesn't apply anymore, and they've replaced the Word of God with their traditions.
Mm.
Let me tell you something. You know, let every man be a liar, and God be the truth. His word is living and active and sharper than a double-edged sword. God has not changed. Men change.
That's right.
God hasn't changed. You know, if that's you,
If you are presently not connected or related to a body of believers, or if you are at a place that you're, it just seems dead. It just seems dead. It's like your prayers hit the ceiling. Any conversations about going deeper in God, people don't know what you're talking about. When you're talking about, let's go do what the Bible says, and they say, no, let's just go see a movie instead. I mean, things right. like that. If that's where you, listen, you know, maybe Vine Fellowship Network's for you. Mm-hmm. You know, and the thing about it is you have to understand that that when you step out of, I remember one particular person said this. Mm-hmm. They said, when I stepped out of tradition, men's tradition,
right.
and I stepped into VFN, it was like stepping right into the book of Acts chapter 4.
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
Listen, but you have to understand, this is not something you stick your toes in. When you want to follow God, you don't put a toe in it and find out what temperature it is. Mm-hmm. You know, this is, you know, walking with God. There's so many different men and women that are walking with the Lord that are in tune with what's going on. You know, George Barner writes in his book that people are leaving the traditional church not because they want to get away from God. It's because they're wanting to maintain their walk with God. Mm-hmm. Right. Think about it. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
But hey, I mean, you got to do what you got to do to stay close to God, because you stand alone before God. Mm-hmm. You stand alone before God. No witnesses and no suspects.
That's
you
right.
are there all by yourself. So you are accountable for you. And I want to encourage you, if that's you, if you're ready to dive into the things of God, to dive into the deep, and you're ready to say, I just want to believe God. I want the word to be alive and living and active in my life. I no longer want it nullified, but I want it to be living and active in my life. Maybe VFN's for you. VFN stands for Vine Fellowship Network, a network of abiding churches who are rightly related, seeking to love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. Go to vfnfamily.org, vfnfamily.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
You know, what is our perspective? Okay, we're hearing the news. Okay, we're hearing the news, but we need to know what to do with the news we know. If you just respond quickly, like Proverbs says, don't do. He says that then your neighbor might say something and just embarrass you. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that we're so quick to respond to something. And it's like, you know, first we have to, you know. And it's just like, and this is the whole thing, is that we just get blind to our own sin. We get blind to our own sin, and we're not blind to the sin that we are not committing. Does that mm-hmm. make sense? Mm-hmm. And so that's the only thing, the only explanation I have for somebody that can, you know, be in the middle of something horrific, and it's just like, you're really going to talk about somebody like that? It's not going to be good. You know, you're not the judge, so it's not going to be good. Because it was just reported by CBN News that they're beginning to lift the ban on gay Boy Scouts to serve openly. CBN News is reporting on that. And we need to find out, how do we respond? Because this has happened in the military. You know, this has happened. You know, what do we do in response to the lifting of Don't Ask, Don't Tell? All these different things that are taking place. And this is a serious, you know, how do we respond to that? And the question is, you know, what would Jesus do? And how did he respond? And look at how Jesus responded to things. And Jesus didn't respond like the typical American Christian responds to things. And we'll talk about a little bit about that in just a moment. But we need to get a perspective on this, because God's going to really embarrass the church. Mm-hmm. You know, if the church doesn't drop their stones, as I'm going to end this with, you know, that the church is going to, God's going to embarrass the church. He says, well, you think about this. Did Jesus try? What WWJD, right? It's what you're wearing on your whatever, right? You know, did Jesus try to change the Roman Constitution? He's like, I don't know. You know, what's up with this Caesar dude and this governor? But we need to put a whole political action committee together. We begin to change these things. We need a democracy around here. Mm. I mean, it was just like, what? You know, it's just, there was two different paradigms. You know, you had the God paradigm, and then you had the lost paradigm. And I'm not saying it's wrong to do those things, but it's wrong to do those things with worldly wisdom, and right. not God's love. And you know, did he tell everyone what they were accepting as the laws of the land and what was practiced and that type of thing? Did he tell the legislators and all that they were wrong? I don't believe one time, although there was somebody that was a believer that's talked about, but he didn't go to change the political system. Or was he their friend and speak to each of them personally? I mean, he would stop and he would speak to them personally, dealing with their own individual sin, because, you know, sin is specific, mm-hmm. you know, and your sin specific to you and my sin specific to me, and I got to specifically deal with my own sin despite what anybody else does for theirs. And letting them, and he let them know that he loved them, and he would forgive them. And he did so over and over again. But he ended it with their encounter with him and his love and his compassion for them by saying, "Now that you see how good I am, now that you see how willing I am to change your destiny and to bring you into my family and to forgive you and to restore you, now leave your life of sin." Leave your life of sin. Mm. And today there's like, you haven't even given me an encounter with God. You know, you haven't even, I look at your life and I don't even think you're having an encounter with God. I see your laws and your religion and your buildings and your organizations. I see you, your political action committees. I see all these different things, but I don't see the love. I don't see, you know, I'm not I'm sure if I encountered this God of the Bible, not your God, but the God of the Bible, that I would be more than likely to go the same direction that you proclaim that you're going, which is the definition of repentance. You know, he would encounter them and he was numbered amongst them. They called him friends with a sinner, friends with the one who was doing what God said ought not to be done. And he just hung out with them because he came for the sick. He came for fame for me. He came for you. He came for us. And the ones that he rebuked openly were the religious folks, were the ones who were thinking that they were righteous in their own works, that their own, that was the ones. Mm. You whitewashed tombs, you snakes, you hypocrites. You know, you go across the sea to win a convert. You put more on them than they can bear, and you don't even lift a finger to help them. He said, you know, and you make them twice as much a son of hell as you are. Listen, just because you're religious don't mean you're right. Doesn't mean you're right. And here we are. You see, the church is attacking this ban that they're talking about, are lifting this ban inside the Boy Scouts, which is an organization. It's not the church. And right. They're lifting the ban in the military and serving openly in the lesbian lifestyle. But the church is criticizing that and coming against it while we are living in adulterous relationships, while we're living in open fornication, while we are rebelling against the ways of God. We're not even reading his commands. 81% of us are not even reading his Bible. While 50% of the men and 20% of the women that are in this crowd that are actually talking against us lift on lifting the ban on gays and the Boy Scouts are addicted to internet pornography. They're bowing down to idolatry and they're looking, and Jesus said, listen, Matthew 6:22, dude, if you did it in your eye, you did it in your heart, and it's all the same. While at the same time, 65% of the women having abortions in America say that they were the church. How can we criticize the world? How can we tell them that they're wrong? How can we be in all that? Telling the world, their organizations, their political and their politicians not to to stop lifting, put back, don't ask, don't tell or something. And who are we to do that? You know, telling states, you know, gay marriage is wrong. While 50% of our marriages are ending in divorce. And wow. While we're living in open fornication, not marrying the person that we're with, living like we're married, but we're not married. Mm. It's crazy. Mm. And it's like, really? That means we're religious. That means we're religious and we're picking different sins to be able to criticize while we ourselves are whitewashed tombs. First, you see, this is the response. What would Jesus do? And if you haven't yet, what VFN TV and watch is America under God's judgment. There's three phases of judgment. And you have the first two phases trying to dog out the third phase. And listen, the third phase wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the first two phases that we failed. We didn't repent. You need to hear it. Listen, God's not a liar. He's not a man that he would lie, or the son of man that he would change his mind. Your sin is not any less sin than the next man next to you. It's all sin. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory. It's not the sin. It's the, what are you going to do with the sin that you have? God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. First, what do we have to do? First, we have to do what Jesus said. Listen, who are you to judge anybody? Who are you to judge anybody? He says, well, how are we going to deal with this? You deal with it by dealing with a pole in your own eye. You can't help them with a speck. When the compared to what's really going on in the church today, this is nothing but a speck. Lifting allowing gays to serve openly in the military is a speck compared to the pole that's in the church's eye today. Mm. We need to apologize to the people that we've been hitting upside the head with our pole while we're living in open adultery. We're addicted to pornography. Our wives are over our husband. Our children are over our family. We don't even read God's commands. We tell people to put the Ten Commandments up. We don't even know them, and we don't even follow them. We are like the Pharisee. We're like the Sadducee. You see? We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Hello there.
I was talking more about the Ford thing. Not necessarily
Ford.
Any kind of
Ford?
Yeah, the Ford F-150 low overhead type
head thing.
Bump, blood sacrifice.
Okay.
Oh, that
seems that I just think we just had another
Why
one up under the studio
up?
Because it's still right.
Yeah.
So we're gonna have to put pads around him.
I'm telling
just
you,
just pads.
Yeah.
Hey, whatever.
He just gets so intelligent that sometimes he just disconnects from all things.
Totally.
And the world just bumps into him.
See, totally.
And he's shocked. He's just shocked.
No,
what was that? That was a wall, Pat. That was a wall.
My arm laying on the ground.
That was a wall.
Careful, careful.
It could be all that stuff you spoke over me. I'm not sure. All that. I don't know.
You know, I've been trying to break all that stuff. I've been watching it come to pass.
I think it's trying to break you. I'm not sure.
I know. Scary thought.
Anybody see my keys?
No.
Anyway, first of all, I do want to say that I remember borrowing your bicycle once. I think it was your trike.
Really?
And yep.
He had a seat.
Mm.
The seat was about the size of the ruler they gave you in the first grade.
How do you sit on that?
I don't.
I'm telling you, man.
I hover over it.
I'm thinking, I got on this thing and I made it maybe about 10 feet. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what's happened to me? I'm thinking... But I started thinking back. I never sat on a ruler before. That wasn't what I was done. We had like banana seats and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
And,
remember those.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm thinking, how can this man sit on the seat? And I thought, wow, I am such a wimp. I couldn't make it all the way around the block, you know, with that. And I'm thinking, wow. And people do ride on those seats, don't they? Did they?
Yeah.
No, it was like a ruler turned sideways. It wasn't even a width of a ruler. It was really bad, and I just want to say that if you want to plenty of fruit in your life, you probably don't want to wear those kind of seats.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
He said, listen. First, you have to deal with your pole in your own life. We're going to have to deal with our own adultery. We're going to deal with our own fornication. We're going to have to confess our sins. We're going to say, listen, I shouldn't have killed my baby. I shouldn't have committed this sexual sin. I shouldn't have committed fornication. I will not anymore visit or see internet pornography anymore, and I will publicly hold myself accountable. This is my beckoning point. I will not bow down to the devils of Satan again. We'll carry our things that once held us and we will put them in piles and burn them so the whole world who we criticized and beat over the head with our poles, Asherah poles, Baal poles. I really believe those poles are like, those are the poles, sin poles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's like, and then after you deal with your own pole, after we deal with our own pole, it's just weird. It's like, you don't see that. You don't see. This is not going to be good. First of all, you know, if you are the judge, I could understand. You know, you could be
right, wrong
and deviant and do unjust judgment. But understand, God's not unjust.
That's right.
He's not unjust, and so he's going to throw that gavel down, And you want to be on the right side of it, which is the side of the cross. Mm. And all have sinned and all fallen short of the glory. And you see all this sexual sin. Sin is sin. The question is how can we think we can deal with someone else's sexual sin, especially someone who does not even know God or has turned away from God? How are we to tell them how to live their life? Listen, we are a message to a man and a woman in hopes that they would accept Jesus Christ as their Lord, and to tell them their destiny if they don't and their destiny if they do. But at that point, the decision is theirs. Jesus said, listen, Sodom and Gomorrah would have repented a long time ago if the miracles that were done in Chorazin would have been done in you. It'll be better right. for Sodom and Gomorrah than you. Listen, it's not for us. Jesus just went on. Listen, this Jesus just went on. When we ourselves are not even considering our own sin, our own sexual sin. Listen, if you sinned and you repented, you've dealt with it. You're not living your life that way anymore. That's cool. That's always the only thing that we can do. Don't be the one who gets on the soapbox while you're addicted to internet pornography and begin to take a poll. You're a share a poll, sir. You're a share a poll, ma'am. Mm. And begin to beat the Boy Scouts over the head and start saying, you know, what are you doing allowing gays to openly serve in the Boy Scouts? And then begin to think about this. When you commit fornication, which is you're not married and you commit sexual sin, you know what you say? You say, I've sinned. When you commit adultery, you don't say, hey, I'm an adulterer. You go, I sinned. Right. But when your brother or sister commits homosexuality or lesbianism, you say, he or she's a homosexual. He or she's a lesbian. No, sir. No, ma'am. They sinned just like you. Mm-hmm. And just like God can forgive you and loves you and has a plan for your life, he can forgive them. He can forgive them. We're not called to change the world. We're called to go out into the world as sheep among wolves, being as wise as serpents and as gentle as doves, so that we can tell men and women that God loves them, that even like the woman caught in adultery when everybody was around her, all of God's people was around her. Notice they didn't get the man, they got the woman. And she's dripping with her sexual sin. She's in the midst of sin. She's caught with her computer, sir. He's caught with the secretary. He's caught in the sexual relationship, the sexual sin. And so this is God looking at sexual sin. And she's thrown down there. Sir, imagine this. He's thrown down there. His computers and his hard drives and his history and all these different things are thrown down there. His partners and her partners and all those things that have is thrown out there before God. All the sexual sins out there. And they said, Jesus, what are you going to do about this? And that's what's happening today. You have all these people with rocks and stones and they're standing around and God's going, oh, no, no, no. You don't understand. You really? Just because? Oh, my goodness. And so then he stops and he looks at them and he says, okay, then. He didn't say that she wasn't in sin. Mm-hmm. He didn't say what she did wasn't sin. But he didn't talk to her. He talked to everybody else. And that's what I'm saying. I'm talking to the church. I'm talking to the people who say they're God's people. He that's without sin, cast the first stone. Cast the first stone. And so the older ones that were standing there with Jesus and this lady and the sexual sin quickly dropped their stones. You see, the longer you've been around, those words shiver up your spine and say, that's so true. What have I done? Who am I to be speaking like that about anybody? It's only by the grace of God that I'm here. Yes. And then the younger ones eventually dropped their stones. And then all of the religious Americans walked away from the Boy Scouts and the military. And then Jesus looks at that soldier and Jesus looks at that Cub Scout and that Boy Scout and says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. She encountered the love, the mercy, the kindness, the justice. Everything was crashing together. It was all coming together. They were right when the law said she should die. They were right in bringing her to the judgment seat of Christ. But they misunderstood the mercies of God and the forgiveness of God. When they brought her to what they thought was going to be her end, they brought her to her beginning and her destiny. She encountered the love of God. She saw the goodness of God. They saw the goodness of God. And after that, he said, now repent.
He said, now, leave your life of sin. It's all backwards. Nope, we can't leave sin without God. It's because he died so that we could actually, he empower us to leave sin. Listen, we're facing and over and the bandwagon, the organization, the nonprofit organization after nonprofit organization is rising up and jumping up like these religious folks with their rocks in their hands. And it's like, dude, 50% of us are ending in divorce. And the reason why that number is not going up is because we're not even getting married. We're living in fornication now. 65% of the abortions, that's us. 50% of the addicted to pornography on the internet, that's us. That's us, the movies we watch. The movies. He said, listen, if you're watching people have sex in the movies, you're having sex in your heart with those very same images. If you don't turn your head, you've experienced it. We're looking at the third phase of a nation being turned over, and we're judging it when the third phase is here because we personally have failed the first two phases. Listen, go listen to Is America Under God's Judgment? You want to be on the right side of history. God loves that soldier. God loves that Boy Scout or that Girl Scout. And listen, we need to be able to be the deliverer of God's love. The messenger, yes, you're caught there, but you got to write in the sand. What he did, he wrote in the sand while these guys pondered over, should we kill her? They were sitting there with their poles. It just happened to be rocks, but those are poles. And he said, listen, you got to first deal with your own pole to help her, because if you deal with your own pole, when you deal with your own sin, you're thinking, my goodness, I can help her out here. I can relate to her. I mean, think about the horrificness of that. Mm-hmm. The shame and the exposure and probably the bitterness, like, where's the man that did this to me?
Exactly.
I mean, all these different things. And then, and they're trying to hit her with the poles. It just happened to be rocks, but it was poles. It was their own sin. It was their own sin. And the church, listen, I'm talking to not buildings. I'm talking to you, people who profess to be Christians, who say, you know, you said that that Jesus is your Lord. The only way we can help them with their specks, and this is nothing but a speck compared to our Shira poles and our Baal poles, and the poles that are in our eyes. We first have to deal with our own sin at the cross. And when we've received the mercy and see the justice of God served on his own son, we will be humble in that situation and we will empathize with her. We'll empathize with him. We'll empathize with that Boy Scout. We'll empathize with that soldier, and we'll quit trying to tell people what to do, and we'll begin to live the love of God and love them and give an opportunity for them to love God and begin to say, you know what? I'm going to leave my life of sin.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today. Blue Angel Hot Tub Pool and Spa. If you're looking to make some additions to your home, consider today visiting Joyce at Blue Angel Hot Tub Pool and Spas, and they ship nationwide. For your sewing and sewing machines, contact Sue, the sewing specialist, at All About Sewing, your sewing superstore in Mobile, Alabama. Don't forget to contact her at 251-634-3133. It's All About Sewing with Sue. AB Mobile Mechanics, fast, friendly, and fair. Everything from ACs to water pumps, on-site repair, all over the Gulf Coast. Give them a call today. Contact ADTS Security and Alarm Monitoring. If you want to secure your home or your business, contact them today for all of your security needs. Cameras, monitoring, and even medical pendants. Do it today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.